The reading is taken from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, which is on page 928 in the Church Bibles. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord.
Do you keep your Bibles open on that page, page 929? Good morning, church. As many of you know, I am a dad. And as a father, when I read the passage in Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 to 12, I wonder if maybe I'm a bad parent. The Bible says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. For this sums up the laws and the prophets. When my children sometimes ask me for a snack or a sweet at the wrong time, I am very tempted to give them a stone. I'm not tempted to give them a snake. And I do try and make sure that they have good meals and snacks at the right time. But as a parent, I often fail. I make mistakes. And I do know that by God's grace, my children still love me and my God still forgives me. Because God is the God of many chances. Let me pray. Father, I thank you, my God, that you are our God and we are your people. I do pray for your word today that it would go forth effectively, that you would speak to us through your word, that my words would pass away, that your words would remain. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look through the Bible, we see time and time again how God is the God of many chances. Adam sinned in the garden. God gave him clothes and covered his sin with sacrifice. Moses murdered a man, and God called him back after 40 years to lead his people. Elijah quit and complained, and then God cared for him and showed him that there were others serving him or serving God and allowing him to serve once more. Paul encouraged the killing and imprisonment of Christians, and yet God called him to be an apostle. John Mark deserted Paul, the mission team in Pamphylia, and yet God moved him to write the second gospel. Each of us who are Christians can say the same thing, that we have messed up time and time again, but God has remained faithful and continues to call us to be part of his family. And we see this so clearly in the book of Jonah. Let me begin by reminding you a little bit about what you've heard the last 2 weeks about Jonah's motive. In chapter 1, we see how God had called Jonah and given him an instruction. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because of its wickedness has come up before me.'" God has called Jonah to service and given him a chance to be God's speaker to a group of non-Israelite people. What a privilege, what a joy. And we heard 2 weeks ago how Jonah responded to this calling. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Jonah's motive was hatred for the people of Nineveh. He did not want them to hear God's word. And although this was the God of heaven and earth speaking to him, he chose instead to go the opposite direction. But God gave him a second chance, as he does. As we read in Romans chapter 11 about the Jewish people, "As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gift and his call are irrevocable." That last line is the important part. God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. That tells us something about God's nature, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His gifts and his calls are irrevocable. Now, that's a big word, but basically irrevocable means it cannot be changed. And so what this passage is saying is that when God gives someone a gift or when he calls someone to do something, he will not change. That call and gift will not change. And if God wants his message to go to the Ninevites, they would hear his message, even if it took a huge fish to do it. And so we come to today's passage, which starts off, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.'" Oh, wait. No, sorry, that's the wrong verse. That was chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to it the message I will give you.'" It's almost the same verse. It's almost like God was saying, "I've forgotten the earlier sins. I've forgotten chapter 1 and 2. Let's begin again, start from scratch, and let's see how you respond this time. Will verse 3 be different to verse 3 in chapter 1? Verse 3 says, "Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh." What about me? What about you? Is God giving you a second chance? Right now, you're sitting in this building. As you're listening online, are you in chapter 1 of your life, or chapter 3, or maybe even chapter 573? How many chances have you had to obey the word of the Lord? Has God been calling you to be part of his family, to come join the family of God, the church of God? Is he calling you to do something specific with your life, maybe to go out and speak to people, to join a mission team somewhere? Is he calling you to do something with your finances? Maybe to support a missionary. Maybe to adopt someone. Maybe to support the local church. Even though God is the God of many choices, with every disobedience, there are consequences. The Bible does speak about a hardening of a heart in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As it has been said, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion.'" When God speaks, we should listen. We should be quick to obey and encourage one another with God's words to us. And what were God's words to the Ninevites? Let's look at the message that Jonah gave to them. From the second half of verse 3 to verse 4. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. And Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. This must be the worst homily I've ever heard. If I was appraising Jonah for a sermon, he would not do very well. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 8 words long. No mention of God. No chance of repentance. Now, I don't know if this was just a shortened version of his message, make it fit in the passage. What he actually said as he walked through the town, how he delivered his message. But we do know that he was not hoping for repentance. He just wanted to give God's judgment on these people and leave. But as I said before, God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. This was Nineveh's chance. And even though it came through an unwilling, unloving prophet, it is ultimately God who was speaking to them. And so God, by his mercy, allowed those 8 words to be heard and to be received. He allowed the people of Nineveh to hear him, not Jonah. The Ninevites believed God, not Jonah. They believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This was unbelievable. These enemies of Israel believed God. They chose to fast, and then they displayed their repentance by putting on sackcloth to wear. Even the king did this. The king submitted by coming off his throne. He took off his royal clothes, showing that he was a ruler, and he put on sackcloth and sat down in the dust. Now, this sounds kind of different to us today, because in those days, people who wanted to show obedience to God would do this. They would put on material that was itchy and causing constant irritation to the skin. They would sit in the dirt and sometimes even cover themselves with ashes to make themselves nothing. They wanted to show that they wanted to repent. They didn't want to continue doing the things that were wrong. They wanted to recognize that they had offended God and they wanted to repent. They wanted to stop doing the wrong things and receive forgiveness. And everybody in the city was doing this, not just one or two. Everyone was recognizing their sins before God and asking forgiveness. And the strangest thing is, Jonah had not told him to do this. In fact, they didn't even know if it would do anything to God. They didn't even know if it would work. The king's decree states in verse 7 to 9, this is the proclamation issued to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. People and animals had to fast and be covered in sackcloth. Let everyone who call urgently on God, let them give up their evil ways and their violence. This is the important part. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. The king was even forcing animals to fast and be covered in sackcloth. Why? Verse 9 says that maybe by some chance, I'm not sure, but maybe there is a hope that God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger, that we will not perish. They didn't even know if it would work. They had no idea if there was any hope of salvation. They had no idea that they would still be alive after 40 days. But they at least had to ask for God's grace and his mercy. Wow. What faith they had. They showed their faith by their works. And they were hoping for a miracle. What about us today? Are we willing to repent of the things that we do wrong? The things that are not in line with God's word? Are we willing to fast and to show signs of repentance? To ask God's forgiveness? Although in today's world, sackcloth and ashes is not the way to show repentance, we do see other examples in the Bible of ways we can repent and ways we can show acts of forgiveness. Zacchaeus, in Luke chapter 19, gave back fourfold from those that he stole from. And Jesus responded by saying, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." We see in Acts chapter 8 how the Ethiopian eunuch chose to show obedience by getting baptized by the roadside. Or in Acts chapter 16, how the Philippian jailer washed the prisoners, Paul and Silas's wounds, and then he and his household got baptized the same day. Over and over and over again, when people see their sin and recognize their need for forgiveness from God, their lives change. They become different people. Their actions change. They become new creations in Christ. They ask God for forgiveness, and they change their lifestyles. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And we too need to look at our own lives and change what we are doing. That is not the things that are not right, we need to change them and start living for him forever. And this will lead us to the marvel of God's grace. What happened to Nineveh? Did Jonah's message come true? Was the city destroyed 40 days after he began preaching? In verse 10, we see the result of his message. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. God responded to their changes by forgiveness. Now, this verse seems to imply that God changed his mind. But the truth is that God is sovereign. God, in sending Jonah, knew that there would be forgiveness, that the city's people would repent, and that there would be changes, because that was why God had sent Jonah there. The message that he proclaimed, although not in the words he said, was a message of reconciliation. God knew this, and actually, so did Jonah, which we'll hear more about next week. God loves us all so much that he sent Jesus to die on a cross, to pay the price for our rebellion, for our sin, for our wrongdoing. The difference between Jesus and Jonah was that Jesus came to earth because of the call, but he was different from Jonah. He came because his motive was love. He came because his message was filled with hope. He came with a marvel of the fact that his death brought us life. There is a wonderful truth in the Gospel of John that we show at Easter Experience each year about the chance that Peter had with Jesus. And it can be found in John chapter 13, chapter 18, and chapter 21. The story begins in the upper room where Peter speaks to Jesus. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." The story continues where Jesus has been arrested and Peter is trying to find out more information in verse 18. Simon Peter and the other disciple were following Jesus, and because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of the man's disciples, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." A little later, meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself, and so they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." And then one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a cock began to crow. Peter has rejected Jesus just before his crucifixion. He has no time to ask for forgiveness. We don't seem to see him around at the cross. And after Jesus rises from the dead, Peter meets them twice before the next scene. But nothing is said about his earlier denial. Then this happens in chapter 21. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he went to him and said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Three times denied, three times declares his love, three times given instruction to lead the church. Peter had choices and chances. Like Peter, we too have a chance and a choice. Today you have to choose, you have the choice to obey God or disobey God. You have the choice of obedience to God with a turning heart towards him, or disobedience and a turning away from him. Each of us every day need to turn towards God. Each of us needs to confess our sins to God. Each of us need to change what we do and repent of the things that are wrong. God is only a prayer away. And the people of God are willing to speak to him with you if that's difficult for you. Jesus came because each of us failed. Jesus came because we have been separated from God. Jesus came because we couldn't do it by ourselves. We are all sinners by nature. What we do, we always do the wrong. But Jesus came as a sacrifice to pay the price for you and for me for the things we do wrong. Not just on the day of your salvation, but each and every day, the little lies you tell, the times you forget to pray, the times you don't want to love your family well or love your neighbors well. Jesus came for you and for me. He came and he said, "All of your sins I will take on myself and put them on the cross." His blood paid for us that we can once again be free. We can once again have a relationship with God the Father. We can once again be in a place where we can serve God and love him forever. God is only a prayer away. And if you can't pray alone, or if you prefer to speak with someone, I'm available after service. Pray with another Christian. Pray with your home group leader. Pray with Bart when he returns. Find another Christian and take your chance to follow Jesus, because he is calling to each and every one of us. Let me pray now. Father, I do thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the cross. I thank you that when we fail you over and over and over again, you give us a new chance. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross, that we can confess our sins and know that you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that you are our God and we are your people. Help us to do right before you. In Jesus' name, amen.